We're in the 18th Psalm. The men just sang, "It is well with my soul," and I would really want you to grab hold of that truth. That's what we're going to look at today, is how to allow God to make it well with your soul. Psalm 18, we're going to start in verse 4. It says, "The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about, and the snares of death prevented me." If you skip down to verse 30, a passage that you do know. When you're in the midst of all of these difficulties and life is just pounding away at everything that you do, and you feel that you are compassed about and engulfed by sorrow and by threat and death and hell itself, and you feel that there's nothing to do, there's hardly any place to go, this is the God that we want to introduce you to. But in verse 30, it's a tough one. Because verse 30 says that while you're in the midst of that problem, that trial, that struggle, look what it says. "As for my God, his way is perfect." It is hard to comprehend that the same God whose way is absolutely perfect, and the same God who loves you, would allow your life to come to this point when you are compassed about by the sorrows of death and hell. And yet, God's going to show us something here in this psalm that I'm hoping will show you that there's light at the end of that tunnel. That this is not the end that God has in store for us. Father, we ask that you would show us yourself in a very unique way today. God, that you would encourage and uplift, strengthen us. That God, we would know you to be a God who loves us so much that even though you've allowed the circumstance in our lives, your way is perfect. And let us learn to trust you through this today. And Father, it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Take a look now at verse, go back up if you would, at verse 6, all right? So we'll take a look at it. You can start at verse 1 just real quickly, just because look at what it says. "I will love thee, O Lord, my strength." And I want you to circle the word "will." Because the concept here is that not that I do love you, but it's saying, God, when you allow my life to be plunged into darkness, God, when you allow my life to be surrounded by death, to be prevented, to be held up by the sorrow and the struggle that life brings, God, when you allow that, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. But go down, if you would, now to verse 6, and let's read that one together. It says, "In my distress, I have no idea." You know, the Lord lays things on a pastor's heart, and I don't know how this all works. I can tell you honestly, I do not sit there throughout the week and go through a list of the people who attend church and say, "Oh, you know, they need this message," and I don't do that. It's just not the way I do this, all right? So I am not directing this toward anybody. If this happens to hit you, then it's because the Holy Spirit of God is taking the Word of God and applying it to your circumstance, all right? If this doesn't hit you, then first of all, you could say, "Praise the Lord," because you're not in the middle of that, right? But I would ask you to put that in your back pocket, because here's what I know about life. Man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. And so if your life isn't at this moment compassed about by sorrow and death and hell, hang on, because this is what life is. One day, Christ comes again, and he takes us all up to be in glory with him, and no more, ever again, will we have to deal with what this life gives us, right? Praise the Lord, and let it happen today. I'm ready. But until that moment, this is kind of what we can expect. And a God whose way is perfect has allowed these things into our lives so that we could be strengthened in our faith in him, in our willingness to trust him. "I will love thee, O Lord, my strength." I remember Job. You know, as Job has gone through the loss of property and the loss of his family and the loss of so many things, and he's sitting plagued with sores, and he says, though thou slay me, yet will I trust in thee. Wow. I'm going to trust God no matter what. So here, in my distress, in verse 6, if that's where you are, listen to what David says. And David, by the way, if you kind of read that beginning of, most of your Bibles probably have that opening paragraph. David is writing this as he's being pursued by King Saul. God has said to David and to the nation, I don't want Saul to be king anymore, I want David to be king. And Saul says, over my dead body, and spends the next 15 years chasing David and trying to kill him. And that's where David's at as he's writing this passage. And it says in verse 6, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. And that's where I want you to start. You say, Pastor John, that's where I'm at. My life, for whatever reason, has just been plunged into a deep, dark hole. And I'm losing hope. And I'm losing courage. And every day I'm dragging myself out of bed, and every day it's harder and harder to find a reason to get up and keep moving. And in my distress, I called upon the Lord. I literally cried unto him. And that's where this starts. Lord, I don't know what your perfect way is and what you're trying to accomplish, but I am going to call upon you, and I want to show you today what this God of ours, this God whose way is perfect, wants to do for us as we kind of walk ourselves through the rest of this psalm. Continuing in verse 6. And what's it say? He heard my voice. Now, there have been times in my life in which I've asked in the back of my mind, God, are you listening? Do you hear? But I want you to know this. Grab hold of it. Trust this about God, that in your time of distress, God hears. He hasn't forgotten you. Has it dawned on us that God hasn't been surprised by what life is bringing to us? God hasn't forgotten. He's not surprised. He knows, and he hears us. Keep reading. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even unto his ears. Now, if it is that this God hears me in the midst of my circumstance, what can I expect from him? And take a look at verse 7, because this is the kind of God that we have. When life deals us a hard way to go, a hardship, a heartache, look at verse 7. It's incredible. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills were moved and shaken. God, when he responds to us, I mean, the earth moves. Verse 9. This is an incredible thought. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. That darkness, that heartache, that tragedy that your life is going through right now, that difficulty of you trusting God and muddling through every day, and every day is like going through mud and mire, and it gets harder and more difficult, and you're exhausted and you're tired. God hears from heaven, shakes the earth, and brings darkness under his feet as the heavens themselves bow down. Why did the heavens bow down? Don't tell me that God did it. I understand that part. But why did the heavens bow down? Because of what? Okay. You know why the heavens bowed down? Because David cried unto the Lord. I cry unto the Lord, and the earth shakes, the mountains move, and the heavens bow down. Are you in that darkness right now? Are you surrounded, compassed about by the snares, by the difficulties of life, by death and hell itself? Do you find it difficult to face every day? Do you find it difficult to get up and trust God yet again? And yet when we call upon God, the heavens themselves bow down. Keep going. Verse 10. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly. And he did fly upon the wings of the wind. You know what this is telling me? That God's help is quick and right when I need it the most. Do you see this? I mean, he jumps on a cherub and away he comes like on the wind. God is a God who's just waiting for you and I in the midst of our pit to cry out unto him. This is what he wants to do. Now, listen, here's what, if we're not careful, here's what we think. Well, if I were David, God would do that. No. You know what I am? I am a child of God. And this father of mine knows how to give good gifts unto his children. And he is waiting for you and I to call upon him so that he can just show us how awesome he really is. Look at verse 11. I love what he does. He made darkness his secret place. You know what God does? God says, listen, I'm going to take that problem, that darkness that you are in right now, that pit that you find yourself in without any hope, and I'm going to take that very darkness and make it a very special place for you and I. That darkness is going to be our secret place. God says, I'm going to show you something about myself that you've never seen before. This is the kind of God that we have. Yes, it's true that sometimes life becomes difficult, but the God that we have responds when we cry. Look at what he does. Verses 12, 13, 14. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them and shot out lightnings and discomfited them. You know what God is going to do? God is going to say, you know, you can't know this. You can't know this about God unless you're in the pit. But in the pit, God says, I'm going to show you just how powerful I am. And he begins to send out these arrows, to send lightning, and he discomfits the things that are causing our distresses. I love verse 16. Take a look at it. He sent from heaven. And he took me, and he drew me out of many waters. Remember that verse in Jeremiah, I think it is, where it says, you'll pass through the waters, but they won't take you. You'll pass through the flood, and they won't overwhelm you. You'll pass through the fire, and you won't be burned. Remember that? Just when you and I are about to reach our lowest, and all hope seems gone, and we look up and we cry unto this God of ours. This God of ours bends down, bends the heavens down, and draws us out of many waters. This is what God wants to do. The God we have is a God of hope and a God of help. The God we have is that God who shows us how awesome he really is, and he uses the struggles that life brings upon us to do so, and he draws us out of many waters. Look at verse 17. He delivered me from my strong enemy, and from them which hated me. And I love the last part of the verse. What's it say? For they were... You ever feel like that? They're too strong for me. God, I can't stand up under the weight that life is placing upon me right now. I can't deal with it. It is too strong for me. And yet, the God that we have deals with that which we cannot deal with. So he delivers us from that strong enemy, which is too strong for me. Verse 19. He brought me forth. And think about this. You know what happens when you feel like you're trapped? Literally, he says earlier, he's compassed about by death. He's compassed about by sorrow. He's compassed about by hell. He is in a pit. He's trapped. I mean, life has just closed in around him. But verse 19, look what God does. And he brings me out and sets me in a large place. Freedom. Life's problems are no longer the thing that I'm going to have to struggle with, because he takes me out, draws me out of the many waters, and he sets me also in a large place. What a glorious thought. He delivered me because he delighted in me. I don't know why. I don't. It's called grace, right? Getting something that we do not deserve. God is not doing this for David because David did anything wonderful. God is doing this for David because David was God's delight, the apple of his eye. Because God simply chose to love him. By the way, have you ever loved your kids when they weren't lovely? You didn't choose to do something because they're just such great kids and you've always got to do something great for them. No. He said, you know what? I know my kid's been a jerk this week, but I love them. I'm going to do something for them anyway. That's what God does here. Draws him out of many waters, sets him in a large place for one reason, because God delights in us. God loves us. Keep going. In the midst of all this darkness, what should I do? Take a look at verse 21. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me. Now listen. I'm about to describe to you things that we ought to do. God will bless our action. God will respond to us because we're his children, even when we don't deserve it. He delights in us. But then as I see God and I choose then to respond rightly, I open up a door of God's blessing. So God's already blessed. He's already brought David to a large place. But now look what happens. He says, I have not wickedly departed from my God, for all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also upright before him and kept myself from mine enemy. So when I then say, okay, God, I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to do the things I know I should do. I'm in the midst of this pit. I'm having trouble dealing with life, but God, I'm going to choose. I will love thee, O Lord. My strength. I will love thee no matter what life brings. And so because of that, I'm going to choose to do what's right. And it opens up then for God to be faithful. Verses 24 to 27, you can read through there. God then recompenses according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands. God then is faithful to bless us and to give us that which we need. Now go on down to verse 28. Let me show you another blessing. For thou wilt what? Light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. Can I give you some hope? He said, Pastor, I am in that pit. I am surrounded by darkness. I am compassed about by death and hell and the sorrows of life. And I'm finding it difficult, Pastor, to struggle through. Here's what you can expect from God. God is going to bring you light. God will light your candle in the midst of the darkness. This is what God does. What an awesome God we have. He steps in just when we need him most. He bows the heavens, shakes the earth, moves the mountains, does everything necessary to help his children because he delights in us. And then, because God does those things, bows the heavens and lights my candle and does these things for me, look at what he makes it possible for you and I. Take a look at verse 29. For by thee, now that's, circle those words, by thee. That's important. This is not in my strength. This is God giving me strength. David is still in the pit. He's in the midst of the pit. But look what God does. Lights his candle and says, by thee, I have run through a troop. And by my God, I have leaped over a wall. Wow. What an awesome God. I mean, life just keeps smacking us and we're beaten down and we feel like we have no hope, we can't get up, but God steps in and gives me strength when I have enemies that are stronger than I am, remember? And now that God has given me strength, I can run through a troop. That means an army. I can take on an army, though an host, David says in chapter 27, though an host should encamp against me, my heart should not fear. The war should rise against me. In this will I be confident. Remember that? This is where David's at. He said, because God has given me strength, I can run through a troop. Because God has given me strength, I can jump over that wall that has gotten in my way. That wall that is a barrier to God's blessing. And yet, through God, I can jump over that. Verse 32, he says, it is God that girdeth me with strength, and it is God that maketh my way perfect. Whereas it started out in the beginning of the chapter, David's in a pit, surrounded by darkness, hell and death, sorrows. Now God makes his way perfect. Verse 33, he maketh me, and maketh my feet like hinds' feet. I don't know if this is really true. You know, they can do anything they want to on the internet. Have you ever seen that picture on the internet? It went, you know, viral a few years ago. Of I think it was the Hoover Dam, but it was one of the dams. And you see it from a distance, and it's like it's got these little black specks on it. Anybody seen that picture? Oh, man, none of you have seen it. I wish I'd have brought that and shown it. All right, so go home and Google it, all right? It's still out there someplace, I'm sure. So you're looking at a dam with black specks or something like that. But anyway, so what happens is they keep drawing then closer and closer and closer to the dam. And as they get to the edge of the, I mean, the dam is like this. And there are goats climbing on the side of the dam, hundreds of feet up in the air, climbing on the, and they're eating this moss that grows only on the side of this dam. And they're all drawn to it. Hundreds of these goats on the side of this dam. It's incredible. And you think, how in the world? And then you can watch them as they walk and they move from... you think, how in the world can they stand on... I mean, they're literally standing on an incline like this with little, like, you know, it's rocks and bricks that are sticking out there. And that's what they're climbing on. And I could not help but think of this passage when I saw that. Because this is what God does for us. He makes our feet so that we become very sure-footed when life is very difficult to maneuver through. God makes our feet like hinds' feet so that we would look at this humanly and say, there's no way I could stand on the side of that mountain. And yet, there is that goat standing on the side of that mountain. And God says, I will make your feet like hinds' feet and set me up upon high places. That's what God wants to do. Are you there in that pit? Can I introduce you today to a God who loves you so much that he will bow the heavens to light a way for you and I to jump a wall and to climb up the side of that mountain and know his blessing? Heads bowed, eyes closed, please.